So our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. Paul writes concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus, be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Let's pray for God's help as we spend some time looking at these words in 1 Corinthians 12. Heavenly Father, please speak to each one of us by your Holy Spirit, that we may know you, that we may serve you faithfully, and use the gifts that you have given to us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a new year. I don't know how your new year is going so far. Rich's question about how have you been blessed this year so far, that was a really good one, actually. Because even as we've been going through the year, it's felt, I don't know what it's felt like to you, but it's felt like it's been pretty busy. It feels like things have happened a lot. A lot has happened since the new year has started. We've had a wedding just over a week ago that already feels like a month ago. And it seems a long time since last Sunday, but here we are again. And actually, as a church, we're facing some really quite challenging issues this term. And actually, I want to start with this statement. This term, as a church, we're facing a situation that could potentially divide or destroy us as a church family. Let me just say that again. This term, as a church, we're facing a situation that could potentially divide or destroy us as a church family. The situation is this. In order for our expenditure to match our income, we're going to have to reduce our staffing levels hugely. So in 2019, we had 126 paid staff hours per week, as well as clergy. In 2020, we need to reduce from 126 to 70, possibly 60, as soon as possible. Now, the PCC have already agreed not to keep the role that Rachel had. That reduces the hours to 110, but we still need to hit 70 or 60 as soon as possible. The difference between 70 or 60 is that one post comes with some external funding if we keep it in some way. Now, why does that have the potential to divide or destroy? Well, first, it involves change, and change is always hard. Second, it involves people's jobs. And these are people we know and care about. And, you know, the staff are finding this really hard. Do be praying for them and supporting them. And third, it involves things that we're passionate about. But at the same time, I'm also hearing various views that I think could cause deep division, serious hurt, and may well hinder the decision-making process that the PCC has to go through. And I want to address some of those as we go through our passage today. Because the church Paul is writing to in Corinth was divided. Listen to what Paul says right at the start of his letter. It's on page 1144 if you want to follow it in the Bible, but I've got it on the screen there. He says this: I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And then he goes on and says, my brothers and sisters, some have informed me that there are quarrels among you. So as he starts his letter, do we hear Paul's heart for the church in Corinth? And do we hear the Holy Spirit's heart for our church, for every church? Perfectly united, no divisions, no quarrels. Now, as I said, we are facing a situation that we could quarrel over, that we could be divided over, that we could be disunited over, that we could spread rumours over. And I think we need to decide individually, what are we going to do? Are we going to work for unity or division? Work for agreement or quarrelling? Work for truth or rumours? And that brings us to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, because one of the things that the church in Corinth was divided over was spiritual things, the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is significant, important stuff. And Paul says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He wants that church to be thinking rightly so that their actions and their words follow, so that they're then united in how they approach these issues. So as we go through these verses, I'm going to spend most of my time actually on the first chunk, because Kenny did a great job looking at the sort of second half of it. So if you want to listen to that, listen to it online and catch up with it from last week. But from this passage, there are three ways we need to be thinking rightly, and I want us to see how that will flow into our situation here at Holy Trinity. First, Paul encourages us to think discerningly. For this, let me just take you back to Corinth, a bustling Greek port in the first century. And imagine you're in your house in the city, and you can hear a crowd of people walking up the street. And they're singing, they're shouting, they're celebrating. There's a real buzz in the atmosphere. And you open the door from the courtyard to your house, you step in and you join this celebration. And you can imagine the buzz, the euphoria of the crowd. And all these people, and as the procession goes on, more and more people come out their houses, they join in. And as you'll be led by this procession up into a beautiful temple, this stunning architecture, spine-tingling atmosphere, and the crowd, and you're there, and you're led into the temple of Apollo, and there's his statue where offerings are made to the idol. And it's an amazing experience. And then a few weeks later, you're in a house again, and there's another procession, this time going up into the temple of Isis. And then a few weeks later, there's another procession going up into a different temple. Now, that was the regular experience in Greek and Roman cities. And in modern terms, it would be a very spiritual, mindful experience. But is any of what I've just described what God means by spiritual? Look at what Paul writes there on the screen. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Now, in the New Testament, spirituality is not about the spiritual experience or mindfulness, but about whether we know the living God who speaks by his Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, there are only two options. There's dumb idols, or the living, speaking God. And discernment in this is really important. In life, you need discernment, don't you? And I've noticed online you need discernment. I got an email saying, a lady in South Africa whose husband has died has left me $2 million. Simply send her my bank details and it'll be mine. I mean, that would sort out our church finances, wouldn't it? Should I do it? Good, good, thank you. don't do it. You need discernment. I also got an email from Microsoft saying my account has been frozen. Click on this button and enter your name and password. Good. Your discernment when it comes to emails is very good. That one is harder, isn't it? You have to look a little bit behind. You actually want to go onto the proper Microsoft website, see if you need, you know. So we need discernment, particularly on online things, but we need it all the time. But we need spiritual discernment. And Paul goes on from verse 2 to give us basic spiritual discernment. He says this in verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now what's he meaning? Does it just mean that someone can say the sound, Jesus is Lord? Is that what he means? No, I don't think he just means that. What he's saying is this: true spirituality is seen by two things. Recognizing the identity of Jesus and pledging allegiance to Jesus. Recognizing the identity of Jesus and pledging allegiance to Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, the special name for the one true creator God was Yahweh. It was so special, that name, that it was translated Lord from very early times. So do you see, saying Jesus is Lord is saying that Jesus is the creator God. But as well as recognizing the identity of Jesus, this is about allegiance to Jesus. See, in Roman times, Caesar was your Lord. Your allegiance was to Caesar. Do you see, if you stand up and say Jesus is Lord, you are saying, my allegiance is to Jesus above Caesar. So this is about the identity of Jesus and allegiance to Jesus. And Paul is saying that no one can recognize Jesus and pledge allegiance to Jesus without the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So do you see, the Holy Spirit works in us to enable us to recognize who Jesus is and what it means to follow him, and enable us to do that. We call this sort of in theological circles two things. There's illumination, previously led astray to mute idols. The Holy Spirit comes in, opens our eyes and our minds to who Jesus is. Illumination. And then secondly, regeneration. The Holy Spirit giving us a new life with Jesus as our Lord. So one is about opening our eyes to the identity of Jesus, regeneration, changing our life to be for allegiance to Jesus. I've loved the spotlights and lights we've had here over Christmas. This Sunday, when we've had the first Sunday without all the lighting, it always feels a little bit flat in here. I don't know about you, but you know, we've had all the warm lights and the spotlights. Now we're just back to our normal lights. You go, it's a bit back to normal. Normal's okay, but I love the lights. But someone has said that the Holy Spirit's job is a spotlight ministry. It's to point people to who Jesus is and for us to follow him with our lives. So here is basic spiritual discernment that we all need. The Holy Spirit never speaks against Jesus as Lord. The Holy Spirit never takes us away from allegiance to Jesus above all else. And if someone is speaking to show us the glory of Jesus as God, and that their life and allegiance is to Jesus and his ways above everything else, the Holy Spirit is at work there. Now, some people in the world, you might call them the rationalists, want to tell us that there is no God, but mindfulness and spirituality is a good thing. Then there are those who want to say that, well, there is a God, but he doesn't really speak. And so spirituality is just about what helps you feel connected with the divine. And then there are what you call the pluralists, who believe all religions lead up the same path and say, well, you know, spirituality is what works for you. Well, that's how the world might use the word spirituality, but that's not how the Bible uses spirituality. That's not what God says is spiritual. Basic spiritual discernment is Jesus Lord? And where Jesus is not Lord, there is no true spirituality. Now, we need this sort of basic spiritual discernment because everything else is built on that. But we also need that as a church. See, our mission is not just to help people, as good as that is. Our mission is not to give people a good spiritual experience in the world's eyes. You know, the processions in Corinth would have been great experiences. Now, our mission is to bring people to Jesus. And that's why I'm really excited that we've sort of clarified our vision statements. And I think this is brilliant. To make disciple-making disciples of the Lord Jesus who have a deep impact on Old Hill and beyond. You know, let's use some basic spiritual discernment. Is this possibly of God? Yes. Because this is about bringing people to Jesus, living out Jesus' allegiance to Jesus in the world in a way that changes things. That's what God wants, isn't it? So think discerningly. Second thing in these verses, when it comes to spiritual things, think Trinity or Trinitarianly. I've had the privilege of actually of chatting to some of our Muslim friends over the road. There's a mosque over there, you may have noticed. There's the JWs, and just next door there's an old church hall which is now a mosque. And I got into a conversation with some of the men there, and they were challenging me about the Trinity. Well, that's not in the Bible, is it? And, you know, Christians made up the Trinity in about 300 years after Jesus at the Council of Nicaea. Now, these were just the normal men at the mosque, and they were trying to take me apart on the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, the Council of the Church was simply trying to understand what was already written in the Bible. And as you read through the New Testament, the writers believe in the Trinity and just don't see a problem with it. And these verses, in verses 4 to 6, are a case in point. And I've lined them up on the screen so that you can see. Have a look. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, and the word for service is the word for ministry, but the same Lord, Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God, the Father, at work. So you have the Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and God the Father. And I think I've, in the past, often skipped over these words. Because we get to this bit of 1 Corinthians and we just go, oh, it's about spiritual gifts. That's really exciting. But actually, Paul starts off by saying, look at the Trinity. There are different gifts from the Spirit, but one Holy Spirit who gives them. But these gifts are to be used in different ministries serving the one Lord Jesus. And that's because there are different works for God, but it's the same God, the Father, ultimately at work. One God, three persons, different gifts, different ministries, different works to do for God, but it's the same one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over it all. So the Holy Spirit gives different gifts so we can serve the Lord Jesus in the work God the Father has called and empowered each of us to do. Now, I thought Kenny pointed this out brilliantly last week, but let's just make this personal. The Holy Spirit has gifted you to serve the Lord Jesus in the work God the Father has called you to do. That means only rich can be rich. Not as in financially. You were the wrong person to choose on this, and because you're only Richard could be Richard. There we go. And God is calling Richard to serve Richard in the ministries that he's calling him to do with the gifts that he's given him to do, which is not the same as for me or for you. Only you are gifted and called to serve in the way God has called you to do. See how exciting this is? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. God has gifted you to serve Jesus in a particular way for him. And it's part of our, you know, what is it for you? Because it's not going to be the same as the person sitting next to you and the person sitting the other side. Now, at this point, let me come back to some of the things that are being possibly thought or said within our congregation that could cause trouble with the decisions we need to make. So here's one view that people potentially might think. What we pay staff to do shows what we value. That's what people might say. Now, if the PCC decide to, and then, so that what they then say is, if the PCC decide to keep this paid post but not this paid post, then it shows we value this and not this. Now, I hope that we don't believe that. Because most of what happens in this church family is done by people who are not paid to do it. They are paid. They do it because they're gifted by the Spirit, are serving the Lord in the work God has called them to do. And I really hope that we don't think that roles that are paid are more valued than those that are not. Does that make sense? Because there's one person who has done the flowers at church quietly behind the scenes for years and years, using her gifts in the service of the Lord as God has led her. Do we value her ministry any less because we don't pay her? Of course not. There's a team who mow the grounds and keep them looking tidy. They use their gifts given by the Spirit in the service of Jesus for God. Do we value that ministry any less because we don't pay them? No. So please don't suggest that we can judge what we value as a church by what we pay people to do. Which raises a question, why do we have paid staff? Well, I think there's probably two reasons. One, that we pay for people to do something we believe we should be doing, but we can't otherwise resource as a congregation. I think that's one reason. A second reason, because that post equips or frees us to be doing what God is calling us to do. That's another reason. And there's loads of things that are going on where people are using their gifts to serve the Lord Jesus in the work God has called them to do. There's so much that goes on here that's unseen, that people are quietly getting on with, that we value hugely. And that brings us to a second thing that I think potentially some people are saying or thinking, that the decisions the church has to make are between community work and youth and children. As if there's a conflict between the two. Now, I think if we're thinking like that, we are defeated already. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. You know, we cannot pit one area of serving the Lord against another. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. We're in this together. There is one Holy Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. Now, having said all that, I'm aware that some have felt that from the front we've given greater prominence to some ministries rather than others. And it's true that, you know, some of our paid staff are paid to work on Sundays and involved in leading services, but others are not. Some things we have to mention most Sundays because they happen most Sundays. But actually, and there's a leaflet that I'm going to be giving out at the end of the service, there's so much that goes on that lots of us are not aware of. And it's an interesting question. How do we make people aware of that without embarrassing people? That's an interesting question. But my heart personally is that every person, whoever they are, whatever age or stage they're at, has an opportunity to meet Jesus, to follow him as their Lord, and be equipped to serve him wherever he calls them. So when it comes to spiritual gifts, think discerningly, think Trinitarianly, and then finally think sovereignly. That sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? Sovereign just means that God is on the throne in this. Okay. Now I'm not going to work through all the different gifts in verses 7 to 10. Listen to the sermon from last week. I think that covered it really well. But I don't know about you, so often I want to be someone else. When I first got going as a young adult, I wanted to be Matt Redman. I think quite a lot of Christians of my generation, you know, he was the guy you wanted to be. His songs, the ministry of Soul Survivor, was massively influential into my young Christian life. But, you know, I saw him there with his guitar, strumming away, leading worship, selling albums. I thought, I want to be Matt Redman. And for a while, I thought, you know, maybe God is calling me to be Matt Redman. You know, we often want to be someone else, don't we? Or, the flip side, we think God doesn't really value me. I'm not loved. I don't have a part to play. Well, look at verse 7 and verse 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then there's the list of them. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So this is why I've said, think sovereignly. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts as the Holy Spirit wants to all those who've come to know Jesus. But notice he doesn't miss anybody out. Everybody is given a gift. But it's the gift the Holy Spirit has chosen, not necessarily what we would have chosen. So we're all different, with different gifts. Now the list of gifts there isn't exhaustive, but if you don't know what your gifts are, or your gift is, well, pray about it. Ask God to show you. Because the Spirit has given you something. But also ask somebody else. Ask somebody who you think is a wise Christian who has some spiritual discernment. And say, what do you think my gift might be? And then try exercising it. But let me just say, that's risky when you try something, isn't it? Because when you try something, there's a risk that it doesn't work, but there's also a risk that we might be wrong. And this is where, again, think sovereignly. We've got to be let the Holy Spirit be in charge. Because it might be that we're going, I really, really want this particular gift. I really want to be Matt Redman and be a worship leader. And the Holy Spirit's going, nope, I really want you to be doing this. And it's a different thing. It's with a different gift. So think sovereignly. So when it comes to spiritual things, spiritual gifts, we need discernment. Is Jesus Lord? We need to be thinking Trinitarianly. It's not just about the gifts. The Spirit gives gifts so that we can serve the Lord Jesus in the work God the Father has got for us to do. Think Trinitarianly, but also think sovereignly.